The scripture is from 1 Corinthians 13. And if you've been to any weddings, you've probably heard this a lot, but it's still, if you'll let it speak to our hearts. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. Whoops. Love does not dishonor others. Love is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there's knowledge, it will pass away. Faith, hope, and love. These three abide. The greatest of these is love. A week and a half ago, let me ask you this. Any of you feel like I do that we're at October 24th and you wonder where the fall has gone? I don't know if your lives get busy. I do know they get busy. I think we probably fail to factor in these Saturday football games that just sort of change the whole makeup of who we are and what we're about. I noticed a week and a half ago I was in my office over here and Drew Weissman and his girlfriend, both from Duke Divinity School, stopped by to say hi. And the last time I remembered him, and it seemed like it was just yesterday, Drew had stopped by at the end of the summer after he'd been away at Michigan all summer serving his internship at a church in Michigan. And he stopped in then. And so when he stopped in the other day, I was disoriented. I said, Drew, are you still on summer break? He said, no, I'm on fall break. And I thought, wow, what happened to September and October? And I think what I want to invite us to do today, because I know I'm not alone. I know how you are. I want us to just pause. I want us to slow down. I want us to be at the foot of the cross and breathe in. And let this time in worship, even though it's a busy service, be a time where you feel anew and afresh the sort of embrace of God's love and the empowerment of God's Spirit. I had a wedding yesterday, as I mentioned, for two dental students, Lauren Auld and Robert Capoza. They met on Lake Wahlberg in sailing, and they liked to sail, and I reminded them of two or three things. But one was that the importance of something bigger than who they are. And as you sail, it's that breath, the wind, that you need to fill the sails. And same with you and me, the breath of God, the Spirit of God. And sometimes we get so busy, we don't allow the Spirit of God to just fill us. Be still and know that I am God. There's a Methodist doggerel. That's a derogatory term for poetry that has very little literary value. It goes like this. Mary had a little lamb. She also had a sheep. She joined Trinity Methodist Church and died for lack of sleep. We Methodists are by our heritage. It's in our DNA that we put love into action. I mean, that's part of what draws people to Trinity Methodist Church. They see, that's what people tell us. We see your hands and feet expressing the love of God around the community and around the world. We're grateful for that. We believe what James said, that faith without works is dead. But there's the flip side of that, that we can get so busy, we can get so depleted, so tired. That's why the Ten Commandments include, remember the Sabbath day. Why we come here periodically just to sit and take in the window, take in the experience, take in Psalm 46, be still and know. Jesus, God said, 6 days you shall labor and on the seventh day you shall rest. So I invite you to rest today. Now, some of you are taking me too literally. Here's what Evelyn Underhill said. The action of those whose lives are given to the Spirit has in it something of the leisure of eternity. I love that phrase. The Spirit gives you the leisure of eternity. And those who do this achieve far more than those whose lives are enslaved by the rush and hurry and the unceasing tick, tick, tick of the world. Worship is that time when we come apart and we receive. And I know enough about most of you to know that you just get wound up, you get busy, you get all doing good stuff. I think about what kept us so busy here. We had 9/11 and that moving service in the morning and then the interfaith service at night. And then we had the third grade Bible presentation. We were continuing this work of making the Bible known to all people. And then a gazillion other things. Step into Africa was huge. And I've wondered in my own heart, what is it that drives me? What drives us sometimes? Sometimes it's habit. Sometimes we just get to doing these things. And sometimes we, out of our own insecurity, are hesitant to step back and say, no, I can't do this. No, my kids aren't going to do this. No, we need some space. We need to pull back. I guess what I want to say today is that this love of God, when we are so made comfortable and secure in God's love, we don't feel the need to hurry. We hopefully will still get a lot done, but there's a certain security in that. This past Monday, we again hosted the PACE Luncheon, which many of you are involved in PACE. It's a wonderful program for high school girls who are severe risk. 400 people met over here. For lunch, Mary Wise speaks every year, and two of the young ladies spoke. One talked about growing up in a home with an alcoholic mother, and she was on the verge of repeating that, and she had the wherewithal through the help of PACE to stop and step back. And another young woman talked about being raped at a young age. It was just very moving and powerful. And then they had a speaker named John Spence. I'd heard of John Spence. Some of you have heard of John Spence. John Spence is a guy who speaks all around the world. He's a coach for CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. He's evidently really good. And I was trying to size up this John Spence, who's so well known. And I thought, what makes him so special? In fact, he's a little overweight and his neck is pretty hefty. And I thought, well, he's not so great. I was just jealous, frankly, of him. But he got up and before he had gone about 2 minutes, I found myself looking for a piece of paper and a pencil to write down some things. And he said this. This is really impactful. He said, whether we're talking about young girls at risk in PACE who've had a very challenging background, whether we're talking about CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, whether we're talking about 80-year-olds or 20-year-olds or high schoolers or in between, rich or poor, all of us are looking for three things. Three things. Safety. Can I feel safe here? Belonging. Will I belong? And appreciation. Will I be appreciated? And I thought about that. Wow. Do the people closest to me feel safe with me? Do the people closest to you feel safe with you? What you're going to say, what you're going to do, how you're going to receive them. Safety. I'm teaching this class again with parents, and I know I told you this before, but bear with me. I want to tell you again. Jan and I happened to fall into a situation where in our first church, a guy whose daughter was in our youth group, he liked what we did. He wanted to give us a gift, so he upholstered an old family rocking chair. We didn't know where to put it, so we put it in our bedroom right by our bed. And so the rule came when the kids got older that before they turned in for the night or when they came home from a date or whatever they were doing. I was one of the nervous kind. I was worried about them until they got home. So the rule was they would come and sit in that chair and talk. And we had some of the best talks. Darren and Siobhan would come and they would sit and just talk. And I've only thought recently, I wonder if they, after they did that, they went back out and we didn't know about it. I don't know if they did or not. And I'm not going to ask them. But I noticed that both of them would talk often longer and more detail there than when we were face to face in daylight. And I realized I have a very expressive face, more than I realize. And when they say something that sort of sends chills down my back, it comes out in my face. And you're like that, aren't you? But in the darkness, they couldn't see me. There was a safety. Are your kids safe with you? Is each other safe? Is this church a safe place where when you come, you know that you're going to be experiencing and feeling the love of God? Will I belong? Will I belong? John Smith said he got a call from the new CEO, whatever time it was, a woman who became CEO of Xerox. I think Xerox was plummeting. And she said, you know, I prayed from being a little girl to become the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. I just wish it weren't that one, she said. And he said, what do I do? He said, what you do is you call all the people you can imagine. So call Bill Gates. Call the Oracle of Omaha. Buffett. Call all these people. And what you want to do is develop a network of people who are invested in your success. You want a network of people who are invested in your success. And I step back and I thought, wow, I hope that's what people feel like the body of Christ is. When the body of Christ is really the body of Christ, when it's what God called us to be, we are invested in other people doing really well. And that you and I can be in some small groups or in classes or whatever it is where people have got your back and there are there for you. And then the third thing he said, will I be appreciated? Are the people around you, do they know that you appreciate them? Do you express it? Do you convey it? Are they safe? They belong? Are they appreciated? And I thought of Jesus. And Jesus in the New Testament, particularly Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, he talked to all these people who were sort of outcasts, said, blessed are the poor in spirit. You've been out. Yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for you'll be comforted. You'll belong. Blessed are the peacemakers, for you'll be children of God. And he said, all you who weary and heavy laden, come to me. No matter what's going on in the past, come to me and you'll find rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think there are two things which is so hard for all of us to deal with. Betrayal of love and an inexplicable loss of a loved one. And all I can say is that when those things happen, Jesus, my experience is, will come alongside of us and say, I may not be able to explain this in such a way that you'll understand it, but I'm here for you. I'm here for you. As I thought and saw those children singing up there today with their loud voices and just the whatever it was, there's a safety here, isn't there? There's a safety. And Paul's words, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. God's love for you and me is patient. God's love is kind. God wants the best for us. Marvelous thing. And I wish I could describe it more fully, but Carly Osborne can in this beautiful Christian contemporary song. Would you be in a spirit of prayer as Carly comes? Thank you, Carly, for dancing for us. Would you all pray with me? Oh God, we're safe in your arms. We belong to you. we feel your love for us. We give you thanks for this visual reminder and for now these elements of bread and wine. May your Spirit consecrate them to our care. And send us forth, O God, with the message and action of love from on high. We praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.